everyone, and welcome to the Ryersonian Weekly Wrap. I'm Kyla Dewar.
And I'm Luke Williams. This is the Weekly Wrap's first show of the new year, and our first show as hosts.
This was a busy week at the Ryersonian as we released our first print edition on Wednesday and our first live broadcast on Wednesday.
We had a lot of interesting content through all our platforms this week, but we'll give you the best of the best for the Weekly Wrap.
Our top story for the week revolves around information that has come to light regarding high crime areas on campus. With roughly 90 incidents having taken place around Ryerson's Victoria and Gould Streets, security experts have classified as a high-risk area. However, according to an email sent to the Ryersonian, Security and Emergency Services Manager Tanya Poppleton has stated that despite knowing about the high crime areas on campus, there are no specific areas we frequent more than others for any particular reason. This contradicts what Ryerson President Sheldon Levy was told by Poppleton, that Ryerson uses the information stored to deploy its resources accordingly. These differing statements speak to the idea that Ryerson security may not be focusing its attention on its at-risk areas.
Jesse Brown, host of the popular Canada Land podcast, came to Ryerson on Tuesday night. He was the subject of a conversation that was hosted by the Ryerson School of Journalism, Ryerson Journalism Research Center, RTA School of Media, and Infoscape Research Lab. Brown started off the conversation by stating that it is terrifying to be him right now, and talked about his coverage of the Gian Gomeshi case, for which he has become a journalism household name. An average Canada Land podcast would receive about 17,000 downloads. Brown says that number exploded to about 250,000 for the Gomeshi episode. The chat lasted about a half an hour, and then there was some time for questioning. Brown turned down an offer of $500 to appear at the discussion, and instead was presented with a Ryerson mug and pen.
Ryerson's campus bookstore has come under scrutiny this week as the Ryersonian broke a story concerning its textbook return policy. Students who have purchased a textbook and wish to return it for a refund are only offered a store credit instead of a full refund. Students must then make the return within 5 days of purchase and can only insure their return if the textbook is unused and unopened. To add to the disappointment felt by students at this policy, it is stated directly on the receipt that the credit expires after 30 days, leaving students with little choice on how to spend their own money. Ryerson is the only campus bookstore in Toronto without a full refund policy for unused and unopened textbooks.
And here now are your Ryerson Rams scores of the week. It was a fantastic week for both the men's and women's basketball teams, as both teams scratched out victories against York University and Algoma. In hockey, the men doubled up on Brock by a score of 8-4, but lost by a similar score against the University of Toronto. However, your ladies' hockey team capped off Brock 3-2 in a nail-biter. Still to come in Rams action this week, men's and women's basketball against Queens tomorrow. The men's hockey team goes head-to-head with Lakehead, and both volleyball teams are ready to take on the Royal Military College of Canada tomorrow and Queens on Sunday afternoon.
In other news, Ryerson has set its sights on its new learning platform. The new service, Brightspace, is powered by Desire to Learn and was chosen based on multiple factors, including mobile compatibility. Mobile users of Ryerson's learning platform have risen drastically from the 2013 to 2014 stats of 13,000 to the 2014 to 2015 result of over 21,000 users. The new platform's predecessor, Blackboard, was the topic of much concern amongst students and faculty alike due to its non-user-friendly setup. Students hope that Brightspace will offer an easier interface for the future.
A Ryerson startup company from the Digital Media Zone has been nominated as a candidate for the Canadian Startup Awards. Blink is an app developed by Jacqueline Ling, which utilizes the swipe left, swipe right function made famous by Tinder, but replaces the faces of potential suitors with outfits for a variety of occasions. I believe if you love a certain look or item, but it's not in trend or season, you should still wear it. We are trying to encourage the fact that everyone has their own personal style and help them discover exactly what their style is, Ling told the Ryersonian's Aaron Navarro. Blink will compete against 5 other startup companies, and the winner is selected by a process of public voting that wraps up January 25th, with the winner being announced the following day.
Ryerson architecture students have received funding from Sheldon Levy to construct a warming station. Fourth-year students Leon Gian and Deanna Concan received $15,000 through the Department of Architectural Science to construct the design on Woodbine Beach. The structures will be built in the architecture building with the aid of 15 students using 3D printing and laser cutting technology. The structure, named Snow Cone, for its pine cone-like design, will open on February 16th and be dismantled on March 22nd.
Two Ryerson School of Fashion professors have reason to celebrate this week. They have been named in a list of the 15 most notable art professors in Toronto, according to a list compiled by the Art Career Project, Fashion Design Program Director Luann LaFrenz, and Seasonal Instructor Colleen Schindler-Lynch were selected by the California-based organization based upon their education, classes they teach, news pieces celebrating their accomplishments, and comments made on the website ratemyprofessor.com, where students can anonymously review their instructors. My goal is to establish a relationship with the students so that they feel they can come in and talk to me about their issues related to school things or things they're proud of, says LaFrenz. It's not just teaching the class. It's helping them move forward in their careers and what they want to do afterwards, LaFrenz told the Ryersonian. And Schindler-Lynch also commented upon the same lines. The positions upon the list came as a surprise to both professors, as they were not contacted prior to the release.
Ryersonian's Digital Media Zone is set to partner with Waterloo's Communitech and Toronto's 111. The partnership will allow them to share their facilities, resources, and talent. The agreement was announced yesterday and will make collaborations between the Toronto and Waterloo-based zones more feasible. The move gives both Toronto and Waterloo members the availability to hold meetings in each other's spaces, allowing for a more professional setup.
The curriculum for Ryerson's Radio and Television Arts could get a little more focused on the use of YouTube in the not-too-distant future. Five Ryerson professors traveled to the Google-owned video streaming website's office in New York on December 3rd, in what would be the first Canadian school partnership with the YouTube Educator Lab. While in New York, the professors were taught to use search engine operatives and tags, audience engagement, maximizing business opportunities, and collaborating with YouTube users and knowing what type of formats generate the most views. As of right now, the content learned at the conference will be integrated into current lesson plans, but there is discussion on the information being turned into a full class in the future.
And that sums up this edition of the Ryersonian Weekly Wrap.
Make sure to check out the Ryersonian's TV live broadcast every day at noon and visit ryersonian.ca for more news and information.
This is Kyla Dewar.
And Luke Williams.
Make sure to stay tuned for next week's edition of the Ryersonian Weekly Wrap.